The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God send a boy who grew up in Boston, earned a degree from a school in Waterville, Maine, to live for 18 years in Nigeria with his wife and four children? This is the story of George Rideout Jr., whose life intersects with Billy Graham, Roger Babson, founder of Babson College, the historic Park Street Church, the continent of Africa, two renowned foundations, and a school that emerged in Weston, Massachusetts, a school that prepares tomorrow's leaders, all centered in Jesus Christ, grounded in his word. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is simple. It's to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you, no matter what you're facing or what you're going through right now, no matter how tough things may seem to be, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of George Rideout Jr., is reaching out to you. Would you turn? Would you repent? Turn from your ways and follow Jesus and Jesus' ways. His arms are outstretched, calling you, waiting for you, and it's our prayer and our hope that you would turn to him. George Rideout Jr. graduated from Colby College and studied at Gordon Seminary before moving to Nigeria, where he and his wife Mary served as missionary math teachers. George leads the Gravity Research Foundation and Open Church Foundation, both founded by Roger Babson, with the strategic partnership of George's father, George Rideout Sr. George is also the chairman of the board of Veritas Christian Academy. George, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Danny. It's a privilege to be here with you this afternoon.
So, George, I mentioned growing up in Boston, but we need a lot more information than that. Where did you grow up, and what was it like?
Yes, Danny, I was born in 1945. My parents were married, and their first home was here in Wellesley, Massachusetts, on Kirkland Circle. And I grew up in this town all the way until I went to Colby College at the age of 18 in Waterville, Maine. So I spent my entire years growing up here in Wellesley, Massachusetts.
So, what was it like for someone who doesn't know Wellesley? Describe what it's like growing up there.
Okay, Wellesley is a very well-to-do town, about 10 miles west of Boston, so it's the suburbs of Boston, and the people here are very educated. I went to school through the Wellesley School public system and graduated from Wellesley High School, and it was one of the well-to-do high schools here in Massachusetts, and still is today. So I received a very good education. I was a scout growing up. I joined the Boy Scouts, and that was a big part of my life. My major was mathematics, and I just loved math. And I had a neighbor who was an actuary, and he is the one who encouraged me to consider becoming an actuary when I graduated from college. So that had a significant part in my life, listening to him talk about that.
What is an actuary, George?
Okay, an actuary is something like a statistician. He works for an insurance company and helps them develop their mortuary tables and figures out how to charge insurance premiums and things like that. So it has a lot of math and a lot of work trying to eliminate guesswork so that they charge the correct premiums and give both the insurance company and the client the best deal possible.
Mm-hmm. George, who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Okay, I would say my father is the one who influenced me the most. He is the one who got a job with Roger W. Babson and spent 25 years with him. And he was a wonderful businessman. He had high integrity. He was excellent at what he did. And it was a privilege for me to watch him work and to have great enthusiasm for his work. We often did chores together in the yard, and he would teach me to do things well. He said, if you're going to do something, do it well or don't bother. So that got ingrained in my life and was a big influence for me.
How did you become a Christian?
The Lord was gracious to me. When I was about 9 years old, my grandma Rideout had a heart attack, and she was a widow, and she was living by herself in Everett, Massachusetts. And the doctor said she needed to come and live with us. So my father built an in-law apartment on the back of the house, and my grandmother moved in when I was 9 years old. My grandma Rideout and her husband had been missionaries. They got married in 1900, and right after they got married, they got on a sailboat and sailed over to South Africa and became missionaries with the Mahon Mission in Johannesburg, South Africa. They had two sons born over there. A third was on the way when they had to return to the States for health reasons for my grandmother. But they were born-again Christians, and so my grandmother was a born-again Christian living in our in-law apartment. She was very influential in leading my two older sisters to faith in Jesus Christ when they were teenagers. And then my older sister, Susan, got some training from Camps Crusade for Christ. And when I was 12 years old, she shared the gospel with me and asked me if I wanted to invite Jesus into my life. And I said I did. And so I prayed with her back in 1958. I was about 12 years old at the time. But my sister forgot to tell me that I need to read the Bible and that I need to get help in developing my Christian life. So I went along for the next 6 years not really reading the Bible. She didn't tell me I needed to do that. And so I didn't have any growth in my Christian life at that time. My parents grew up in strong Christian families. My mother's family were the Lanes and the Roses. They were connected with Tremont Temple in Boston and Gordon Divinity School and Gordon College. And my mother grew up in a Christian setting. But when my parents got married, they went to a church in Wellesley, but the church in Wellesley was not a strong Bible-preaching church. And I went to Sunday school there, and I grew up there. In 1964, my mother was in our kitchen here in Wellesley, and she was listening to the Billy Graham Hour of Decision radio broadcast Sunday night. And it was during that broadcast that she gave her life once again to Jesus Christ in April 1964. She heard that Billy Graham was going to come to Boston in September 64. So she signed up to be a counselor and got training at Park Street Church in Boston. Her only problem was she didn't like to drive in Boston. So she asked my father if he'd be willing to drive her into Boston. And he said he would do that, but my father was a proud businessman. His goals in life were money, power, and position at that point. And so he said, I'll drive you in for 3 nights, but that'll be it. When he was sitting there, he was listening to Billy Graham. And the Lord began to speak to his heart. And he was too proud to walk down when Billy Graham gave an invitation. And so he decided to have breakfast with Billy Graham the morning, the fourth day of the crusade. And it was arranged for my father to do that. But then he got a call in the middle of the night that Billy Graham blacked out and that the breakfast was canceled. So Dad agreed to take my mother in the fourth night, even though he said three in the beginning. And that night, his own testimony was that a thunderstorm was going on in his heart. And that Billy Graham, when he preached, he was pointing his finger right at my father. And when he gave the invitation that night, my father was the first one to go forward and give his life to Jesus Christ.
George, I am so moved by this, the compelling. I mean, we've talked briefly before, but the detail. And Billy Graham blacking out, so he couldn't come to the breakfast with your dad, a private meeting. How many people have such private meetings with Billy Graham? But there, your father, George Rideout Sr., a man of excellence, whose ambitions were power, money, prestige, but one who taught you to live with high integrity, and whose devotion to his wife, your mother, brought him to the crusade. And here he is, there in 1964, with a thunderstorm going on in his heart. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more of the story of George Rideout Sr., as told by his son, George Rideout Jr. Is there a thunderstorm going on in your heart? My friend, you might be doing things well. You might be experiencing a great deal of success. But is there a thunderstorm in your heart? Well, that thunderstorm in George Rideout Sr. led to things that have impacted the world with the love of Christ. You'll hear more from his son, George Rideout Jr., when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, the thunderstorms that wage in our hearts, that roar in our hearts. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm grateful that you're with us today. Danny Yamashiro here with my guest, George Rideout Jr. You can find out more about the ministry of George Rideout at openchurch.org, an incredible ministry of outreach, sharing the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Open Church Foundation, openchurch.org. Before our break, George was talking about a thunderstorm in his father's heart at a 1964 Billy Graham crusade in Boston, Massachusetts. George, take us back. The thunderstorm in your father's heart. What did the Lord do at the Billy Graham crusade?
So, my father was soundly converted to Jesus Christ that fourth night at the 1964 Billy Graham crusade in the old Boston Garden. And he immediately thought about me, way up there in Waterville, Maine, Kobe College. And he wanted me to know what he had experienced that night. So I got a phone call from my father. And all he said was, George, how would you like to come home for the weekend? I was a freshman and a little homesick, and I said, sure. He says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll drive up Saturday morning with a family dog. I'll pick you up and bring you back down for the weekend. And so that's what happened. He drove up Saturday morning, got in the car. We drove back down to Wellesley. It's a 200-mile trip one way, so it took all morning to make that happen. And then he told me that there were some meetings going on in Boston, a crusade, and he invited me to come into the crusade that night if I would like to do that. I arrived home, and I met my brother. I have six siblings. I have two older sisters. I'm number three. I have a younger brother, and then two younger sisters. And when I got home, I encountered my brother, and I had noticed that there was something different about him. Something had changed about him. I wasn't sure what it was, but I had noticed that something was going on in his life. And then my parents and I and my younger sisters and my brother all drove into the Crusade that night. And I heard Billy Graham preach. He had a wonderful sign behind him hanging up that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I was watching that sign. I was looking at it. I was really hearing Billy Graham preach the word. And it really spoke into my heart. And I was not rebelling against it at all. I had invited Christ into my life when I was 12. And I was listening carefully to everything he was saying. And then when he gave the invitation that evening, I went forward with my youngest sister, Ida. And together we rededicated my life to Christ, and I don't know if she gave her life to Christ for the first time, but we went up and did that together. And the wonderful thing, yes, go ahead.
Well, what was going on in your heart at the time?
Okay. So my heart was prepared already to hear the truth. I was not in any difficulty or having any problems. I just heard the truth, and I loved hearing the truth, and I wanted to accept it, and I wanted Jesus to become a part of my life. And I am so grateful for that night. It totally changed me. It was different from the time when I accepted Jesus with my sister Susan. This was a real working of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I met with one of the counselors up front, and she took me through some scriptures with her and took down my name. And the wonderful thing is they sent my name up to Colby College, the Colby Christian Fellowship, University Christian Fellowship. And I went back to Colby, and I got a knock on my dormitory door. The man's name was Herb Luxon, and he was the advisor to the Colby Christian Fellowship. He was a lay advisor. He worked for Scott Paper Company, and he was not teaching on the campus. But he knocked on my door and told me he had received my name from the Billy Graham Crusade. And he invited me to consider becoming a part of the University Christian Fellowship at Colby College. He told me that it was all girls. There was about six of them. And they were only in existence for 1 year. And he said they had been praying the whole year for a guy to come along. And so I believe I might have been an answer to their prayers.
Well, I'm interested now to find out how you met Mary.
Okay, so Mary was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and her dad was teaching in the medical school. And she was not a Christian. And Park Street Church in Boston had sent a church planter out to the University of Michigan. And he planted the University Reformed Church on the edge of the campus there. And he took a gal from Park Street Church with him named Lee Fisher. And Lee started a Bible study in Ann Arbor High School. And one of Mary's homeroom ladies was in that Bible study. And every time she came to homeroom after a Bible study, she would turn around and tell Mary what she was learning in this Bible study. And she eventually invited Mary to join the Bible study. So Mary joined the Bible study.
So, George, we're spanning now Massachusetts and Michigan. Things are going on at Park Street Church in Boston. And there's a connection going on in Michigan, but you're also a student in Maine, right?
Right.
Okay. So continue. I just want to make sure that
right.
We've got our tracks clear.
Okay. So so Mary's a senior while I'm a freshman at Colby. She's a senior in high school. And her family ended up traveling every August to a different part of the country. And in 1964, August 64, they went to the New York World's Fair. And Mary asked her family if they could go to the Billy Graham Pavilion. And they watched a movie in that pavilion. And after the movie, somebody came out behind the curtains and invited anybody who wanted to learn more about Jesus to come forward. And Mary told her family to wait there. She was going to go forward. And so Mary went forward. And with that counselor, Mary invited Jesus Christ into her life at the 1964 World's Fair in August down in New York City. So then she applied for colleges. And one of the colleges was Colby College. Her first choice was Cornell University. And for some reason, she didn't get in there. And I believe the reason was God had another plan for her. He wanted to send her to Colby so I could meet her. So she ended up at Colby College. And the high school group at Ann Arbor had sent her name on to the Colby Christian Fellowship. So our girls were on the lookout for Mary Weller. And they found her when she wrote a check for buying her textbooks in the bookstore. And they...
Now, George, were you still the only guy in the group? The answer to prayer?
Yes.
That they...
Right.
Okay.
So I was... there was actually another guy that came along. And they made him the president when I was a sophomore of the University Christian Fellowship. And then there were about 11 girls. And so I was told by the advisor's wife, Doris Luxon, that, you know, she was teaching me the Bible. She was mentoring me. And she told me that I needed to treat all of these girls as sisters in Christ and leave it at that. So that's what I did. And so Mary was there in the University Christian Fellowship group, and I was there. We had meetings every week. We had prayer meetings, Bible studies. And Mary was a math major just like I was. And she started on the junior level math at Colby College. And she figured that she wasn't going to be able to have enough credits to graduate as a math major at Colby because she started so high up as a freshman. She was in a junior level math class with me in differential equations her first year. And then also she had a liking for this guy named George Rideout, but he didn't date. And so she said, I'm going to transfer to the University of Michigan. And that's what she did. She left after her freshman year. And I was devastated because I had a liking for her, but she left.
Well, the plot thickens. You, George, you're an obedient guy. I mean, they said to treat the women as sisters, and you said yes, and you meant it. Like how your father taught you to be a man of integrity, and all of a sudden, your heartthrob is leaving because she is at such a high level in her math. You're listening to George Rideout sharing his story of Mary, how they met. When we come back, you'll find out what he did. What he had to do to get her attention. And yes, she liked him, but there was very little on his side. But he's going to make a move that, a bold move that would inspire anybody. But God was using that to bring them together. Their life is the life of missions, a life of education. You'll hear how the Lord has been at work. Even so, as the Lord works in your life today, right now, even through the sharing of George's story. Stay with us. More Heart to Heart with you when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Most of the Rideout family came to Christ during the 1964 Billy Graham Crusade in the old Boston Garden when George Jr. was a freshman at Colby College in Waterville, Maine. He continued on with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship there at Colby, as they were connected now to Park Street Church there in Boston. Before our break, we were talking about Mary, the dear woman who would become George's wife. But he's in a pickle now. She's leaving Colby College after her freshman year and moving back to Michigan to continue her studies there. What did George do? By the way, you can find out more about George Rideout. He oversees two foundations, one of which is the Open Church Foundation. You can find out more about Open Church at openchurch.org. And if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a free gift. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, free podcast, share it with a family member or friend. George, take us back. Mary left, freshman in college. You're still at Colby. How did you reach her? How did you connect with her?
I was very fortunate that Mary loved the Colby Christian Fellowship Group, and she decided in February of her sophomore year to come back for a visit, all the way from Michigan, all the way up to Waterville, Maine. It was a long trip. I heard that she was coming back, And I said to myself, you missed the boat once. Don't miss it a second time. So I went to seek out Mary after she arrived, and I found her coming out of a math class with some of the other girls. And I stopped her in the hallway, and I said, hey, Mary, how would you like to go out for dinner tonight? So Mary looked at me, and she's thinking, oh, he wants to have a little reunion. So she said, well, how about if I invite some of the other girls? And I said, no. And then she started clicking. So we went out for a three-hour dinner that night. And I found out during that dinner that Mary was planning to come back to Maine for the summer to be a camp counselor at China Lake Baptist Camp in China, Maine, outside of Augusta, Maine. And I was going to be interning at John Hancock Insurance Company in Boston, doing a summer actuarial program. After our dinner meeting, Mary went back to University of Michigan. I somehow got her address, and I wrote her a two-page letter, and three-quarters of the letter was asking her questions about University of Michigan Actuarial Graduate School. And then the last line was, Mary, you mentioned that you were going to be a camp counselor in Maine this summer. I'm going to be working at John Hancock. Would you mind if I came up to visit you one weekend? And she wrote back and said, sure, come up every weekend. So I did. I went up seven weekends that summer. And so Mary and I began our dating relationship. And while we were dating, we came across a verse, Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This became the verse for our marriage. We had found it while we were dating in Maine. And I invited Mary to come and see our family in Wellesley over Thanksgiving. And she came out on Thanksgiving, and we actually got engaged that Thanksgiving. So I'm in my senior year at Colby College now, and Mary went back to Michigan. And at Colby, we have a jam plan where we take a month and do a special study. And I asked my advisor if I could study for the second actuarial graduate exam. And he said, sure. And I said, do you care where I study for it? He said, no. So Mary ended up inviting me to come out to Michigan to meet her family over that Christmas holiday. And I spent about six weeks out there getting to know her family. I asked her dad officially if I could have Mary become my wife, and he approved. And so we made plans to get married when I graduated from Colby in June of 1968. And that's what we did.
George, we can see the hand of God bringing you together, emboldening you in the moves that you made with the open doors that were before you. How did the Lord, after you and Mary got married, how did the Lord lead you to the mission field?
Okay, I had become a member of Park City Church in Boston after the Billy Graham Crusade in 1964. In fact, our whole family, the Rideout family, moved from the church in Wellesley to Park Street Church in Boston. And so I had learned a lot about missions from Park City Church. It was one of the first churches in USA to send out missionaries. I think they sent the first missionaries to Hawaii, where you are from, Danny.
Yes.
Back in the maybe 1800s, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. 1820.
Okay. And so I had come down from Kobe College for two of their missions conferences. And at the second one, I had heard a missionary, Howard Dowdell, with SIM, speak about the need for mathematics teachers at Tikkun College, Egbe, Nigeria. And I was sitting there listening to that. I was a math major planning to be an actuary. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, wow, I never thought of math and missions before. So I went out for lunch with Howard Dowdell, and he told me more about it. And I got very excited about it. And that Sunday morning, Dr. Akengay was the minister of Park City Church at that time. After the Sunday morning sermon, he invited all the students, or all the people in the congregation, to be willing to consider God's will for their lives. And if they were going to be willing to do that, he asked them to make a public confession by standing up where they were. So I stood up that Sunday morning and told the Lord that I was willing to consider what he had for my life. That was my junior year before I started dating Mary. And so when we were dating that summer, I told Mary about that experience and told her that I felt that maybe God was calling me to be a math teacher in Nigeria. And she said, well, are you sure he's not calling you to Alaska? I said, no, I think it's Nigeria. The reason she said Alaska was she didn't like heat. She came to Kobe because she liked the cold weather. She wanted to go skiing, enjoy the snow. And the idea of going to Nigeria, where it was hot, was not inviting to her. But we got married the summer of 68. Mary had to finish up her degree that summer because she was a half a year behind me. And she graduated from University of Michigan in August 1968. And SIM said that if you want to join the mission, you need to spend some time studying the Bible, because we both went to secular schools and had no Bible background. So we were both accepted to go to Gordon Divinity School, which is now Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And so in September of 68, we went to seminary for a year to study the Bible.
George, George, let me just break in real quick here.
Yeah, yes.
Because of the training that you're receiving, in view of the heart of surrender that you have displayed, and now Mary, even someone who loves the cold weather, is now being called to consider work, missions, math in Nigeria. I want to circle back to the heart of surrender when we come back from our break, because the life that you're describing in reflection reminds us of the importance of surrender on a daily basis and how the quote-unquote adventures of the Christian life often emerge from the simplicity and yet the profundity of a life of surrender. Dear friend, when we come back from our break, you'll hear more of the story from George Rideout. It's unfolding before us as he tells it. But I think about you. And I wonder about this. Is the story of a adventure for the Lord unfolding before you, dear one. If only you will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, have your way. I'll go where you want me to go, even as George Rideout and Mary did. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042. 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So George Rideout met Mary Weller at Colby. They got married in 1968. They studied for a year at Gordon Seminary, now Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. They left for Nigeria in January of 1970. They served as missionary math teachers for 18 years and raised their four children there in Nigeria. This is the Good Life radio program, and you can find out more about George Rideout and his ministry, the Open Church Foundation. Incredible resources available for you to share the love of Christ, to share the gospel. Openchurch.org. Again, openchurch.org. George, we're in our final segment here. Take us to Nigeria, how the Lord led you and Mary and the work you did there for 18 years. Tell us about that.
Yes, thank you, Danny. Mary and I left for Nigeria in January 1970 after being accepted as missionaries with SIM. And our first assignment was in the Biafran War area. Nigeria had just gone through a three-year civil war. And our mission, SIM, had put together an educational relief team to go into the war area and help the government reopen a high school. We arrived in the middle of January. The war was over 2 weeks before, and we saw refugees walking back to their homes. Many of the children had bloated bellies, and they had experienced a lot of starvation and all the atrocities of the war for 3 years. A lot of people died during that time. All of our students were 3 years older than they should have been. They had not gone to school for 3 years, but they were being given the opportunity to go back to school. So some of the students were almost our age because we were in our early 20s when we went out to Nigeria. We had a single lady on our team. We had two couples, Mary and I, the Browns, and Millie Mosby, the single gal. And Millie was a 10-year veteran. She'd taught at Tickham College Egbe for 10 years, biology. She had gone home during the war because her father died. She couldn't get back in because Nigeria was not issuing any visas until after the war was over. She was put on our team to be with us in Bori Ogoni at Birabi Memorial Grammar School. It was a 2-year project, and then we would leave after that. Millie told us from her experience that we shouldn't expect to see any students come to faith in Christ for 2 years. But I said to myself, how can it be that the Lord is sending us here and we only have 2 years? I don't believe the Lord wants us to see no fruit in these 2 years. The Lord worked a miracle. Within 3 months, the first girl came to Millie, and Millie was able to lead her to faith in Jesus Christ. And then she went and got another girl and brought her to Millie, and Millie led another person to faith in Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we had chapel every day, and the different staff took turns taking a week to preach during the chapel services. And so the students were hearing the gospel from these weekday worship services. We got in touch with a scripture union that was working in Nigeria, and the leader came out to us and told us how we could form a youth group in our school. And so I was put in charge of leading a scripture union youth group at our school, and so we started inviting students to become a part of it. And we had Bible studies, and we had a ministry of a bicycle ministry, and we sent students out Sunday morning, 2x2s on bicycles, to go teach Sunday school and to preach in churches. So Mary and I taught the kids how to teach Sunday school, and Millie taught the kids how to preach. And so they would go out, many of them not being Christians, but taking what we taught them and teaching that to the children and to the people in the churches. We had opportunities to invite an evangelistic team to come over from our seminary in Nigeria. And they had a week of meetings. And at these meetings, many students gave their lives to Jesus Christ.
George, at the end, as you're describing the early fruit that was born, the beginning of an 18-year, nearly two-decade period of time that you and Mary were there, you mentioned how the Lord was working, even miraculously working in your midst. We've got a couple minutes left before we begin to wind down the show, but I do want to ask you to pray. But were there moments when you were extremely challenged? I want to say this, how did the Lord help you while you were there? And I'm thinking, if you could pray for someone right now who's listening, who's going through their own challenge, sort of like a prayer, a retrospective prayer of your experience in Nigeria, but praying for someone today who's facing a challenge and asking for God's working and touch upon their life.
Yes, would you like me to pray now or to say something more, say something about a challenge?
Say something about a challenge briefly and then pray for our listener.
Okay. I think one of the biggest challenges was when my son Drew became very ill. And we didn't know what was wrong with him. And I had to carry him. He was in third grade. I had to carry him and Mary and put them on an airplane to come back to Boston, to the Children's Hospital in Boston, to see if they could find out what was wrong with him. And I stayed in Nigeria to finish out the school year with our other three kids. And to put him on a plane like that, not knowing what was wrong, not knowing if I would see him again, was a big heartache for me at the time. But thank God, Drew recovered from his illness, and he's doing very well today. We praise God for that.
Pray, George, for someone in this kind of uncertainty, the kind that makes a parent sick on the inside. Please.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you know all about us and you know our every situation. And we thank you, Lord, that when we go through trials and difficulties, you are there going through them with us. You went through your own trials, Jesus Christ, as you faced the cross, as you knew that you would be beaten and nailed and crucified for our sins. That was the most agonizing experience you ever experienced on our behalf. Lord, you know what it's like to have a heart that's in agony. You pleaded with your Father, and you are there for us when we plead to you on our behalf, on behalf of our children, on behalf of those who are going through a difficult time. Father, would you be with whoever is experiencing a difficult moment at this time, and would you help them to know that you love them, that you are there for them, that you care for them, and that you will be there for them. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord our God hears and answers prayers. George, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for sharing your heart and life. Drew, who God has preserved, and not only that, today Drew is a physician, a surgeon, and ministers using his tremendous hands to bring life and hope and healing to people all over the world. Dr. Drew. Inspiring words from George Rideout Jr., openchurch.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate, and I thank you in advance. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to George Rideout Jr., openchurch.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.